But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show us the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we may walk in them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Dale. Let us pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. So I heard this really great sermon at annual conference. I'd welcome you to watch it yourself. But Dan Dick was the guest preacher at the retiree worship service. Now, it might have caught my attention because of his dissection of words. I love how he explains the origin of a word. Or maybe it stuck in my head because it was a timeless scripture message that the bishop had asked us to embrace, and Dan was challenging us to go deeper. But I think that it's still in my heart because he asked us to be people that move, to be people that are moved by grace. And I like to keep moving. Dan said, "Grace is proficient. It is not just enough, it's more than enough. It is always moving us forward. It is a grace that propels us, that promotes us, that is proficient to help us become the people God needs us to be." I love being moved, physically or emotionally, transformed. I love to think about the movements as not just actions, but what if we thought about them as actions moved by intention, sustained by, and enriched by grace. What if our actions were sustained by, enriched by grace? It inspires me to move and to be aware of the power of God in everything that happens in my day. Now, unfortunately, the word overflowing is a word that we only hear in bad times, usually, right? Think about too much water, flood, overflowing the banks. Think about the mess in your kitchen when a pot overflows. Not yours, just mine? Yeah, well, it's bad, I'll tell you. Don't try it. Or perhaps visualize a manure pit. It has a good purpose, right? To store what is needed for later. But when it has reached more than capacity, ew. Or even the damage that too many words of advice can have on your relationship. What about, instead of those images of overflowing, we think about grace upon grace? Not like something that can be used up or spent, but something that there's plenty of, that's offered freely to us, that is a gift from God, a gift that's given to us more than once. God's grace is overflowing. Can you name a time in your life where grace has impacted you? I've asked that question before. Have you thought about it? You've had 3 weeks to think about it. I will give you three more. Can you name a time in your life when grace has changed you, has left an impact on you? There are many passages, many people that like the passage from today because of its clarity. Although it's choppy, it has a distinct before and after feel. It tells us that transformation makes you different. There is you before, and there is you after. And that experiencing grace is transformational. It's a transformational action. It would mean that you are not the same person after you've been transformed. Now, some of you are wondering, have I ever been transformed? Right? Yes, you have. Yes. If not multiple times in your life story, at least at the very beginning of your life, from the unity of two haploid cells, our very life began. Yeah. You have been transformed. If you're starting your transformational log, you could start with that one if you'd like. Two haploid cells. I was changed. Friends, if that's your only transformational experience, then I pray that you will have more opportunities still in your life. In the preceding verses from the ones that Dale read today, Paul reminded the people of the churches that there is a before and there is an after. There is a before you knew Christ. I think that might be true for each of us as well, although some of you, just like that other transformational experience, might not remember it happening. But there was a time before you knew Christ. If you can't recall that time, can you recall when you accepted Christ for yourself? Or when you submitted your life to Christ's teaching? Or when you encountered Christ in a new way? Or when you were transformed by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. The scripture today references this concept of an atonement theory. That atonement theory is not accepted by all Christians. It's challenged by some. It's the idea that Christ had to die for your sins so that you may be saved. It's a sacrificial idea that God is made whole, that relationship is restored through something being offered. And since you couldn't offer it, it was offered on your behalf. Someone did it in your place, and that someone is Jesus Christ. In the midst of grace and grace upon grace and the hope that we might live as people accepting that grace is sufficient enough for us, or proficient, more than enough for us, then we look at Paul's letter and we find the reason to live that way. It's because of Jesus Christ, because God's grace, the gift of God, not the result of our works, so that no one may boast. We can't do it ourselves. You can try. You will not succeed. You might do great things, but it is God's grace that is enough for us. God leveled the playing field. Even after hearing from Paul about how each of us has a gift, if you'd like to read about your gifts, read some of Paul's letters, right? Each of us have been blessed with differences that make us not only possible to be united, but that we are better united, because not each of us has the same thing to bring to the table. And recognizing that when we drink from our saucer, it's because our cup has overflowed. Dear friends, I invite you to think about how we will act, how we will move, how we will live and grow, knowing that we have been offered or extended, given more grace than we deserve, and more than any of us needs on our own. I've been thinking about the action step. And here's what I found. I think that we can live out that grace by following the three simple rules from John Wesley's Guidelines for Christian Living. Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. Sounds simple, right? Life-giving. And yet, Bishop Reuben Job helped explain those three rules to people. Quick little handout, right? He says the first simple rule is do no harm. He says it's not that complicated. And when practiced, it works wonders in transforming the world around us. The second rule is to do good. That seems just as simple, doesn't it? John Wesley's journal, it says, there is scarce any possible way to doing good, for which here is not daily occasion. Translated, you got plenty of opportunities to do good. And finally, the third one is to stay in love with God. Potentially a more difficult concept for us, John Wesley called for people to attend to the ordinances of God, or, more commonly said, to maintain practices that keep your relationship with God vital, alive, and growing. Do something. To live out our doctrinal history, as noted in the Book of Discipline, we are to follow the traditions of the gospel grounded in the biblical message of God's self-giving love revealed in Christ Jesus. Hey, that sounds just like Ephesians from today, doesn't it? Because once we do that, we can be united in spirit. We can be united in spirit and do the work of the Holy Spirit. So, dear friends, here's where I'm left. If God's grace is sufficient for us, then we each have enough. If we look at that same portion and see that it is more than enough, if it's proficient, then we have some to share. And if there is that much there, then what shall we want but to live out our days with others who are experiencing the grace of God? That sounds ideal to me. I can think of nothing better but to live by grace, to be moved by grace, to examine the portion that's been given to me and to be satisfied or gleeful because of it. In this year of grace, may you be inspired to live out the grace that's been offered to you. May your spirit be revived and refilled whenever you open yourself up to God. And may you experience God's great mercy, that you may know the immeasurable riches of grace in kindness towards us, given through Christ Jesus. May you be joyful as you continue to embark on this month of grace, or this year of grace if you're continuing that movement. And may you and I both act as people who believe that because of God's great love for us, by grace we have been saved. Amen.